Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16 through chapter 8, verse 3. God's condemnation of Judah's false worship. Our worship of God is very important to Him. The first two commands of the Ten Commandments deal with our not worshiping any God but the Lord and our not making any idol to replace Him. So when we come and we worship the Lord, this is extremely important to Him because we are conveying in our hearts and our minds to God our appreciation and our adoration of Him for who and what He is and what He does for us. It's very important to God. Well, Jeremiah 7, 16 to chapter 8, verse 3 reveals God's condemnation of Judah's false worship. And it provides rich insight and application for how we should function in our worship of the Lord today. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Beginning at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. Therefore, Jeremiah, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather the wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger? Saith the Lord. Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, on the fruit of the ground. It shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings into your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, and it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent to you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up lamentation on high places, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet, until there be no place left to bury. And the carcasses of this people shall be food for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall chase them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of his princes, the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon or refuse upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, a very dramatic section of Scripture. God condemned Judah for worshiping other gods besides himself. the Lord directed Jeremiah not to intercede for the people of Judah because he would not listen. He explained, in Judah's towns and Jerusalem's city streets, the children gathered the wood, the fathers lit the fire, and the women kneaded the dough to make cakes in the shape of and unto the queen of heaven, Ishtar, the Babylonian goddess of love and fertility. In addition, the people poured out drink offerings to other pagan gods, and of course this incited the Lord's anger. Yet in provoking him, the people only harmed themselves, for God's wrath would be poured out on the people and objects used in this worship. Be poured out on man, animal, trees, and crops. Incidentally, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is worshipped. It's called hyperdulia worship in the Catholic Church. She's actually called the Queen of Heaven in Roman Catholicism. And you can trace this title back to the Babylonian religion. And they borrowed it from that and they applied it to Mary. Now we know what God thinks of the worship of the Queen of Heaven in the Old Testament. So what does he think of people worshiping Mary, even a hyperdulia type of worship? The Catholics say it's a different worship than God, but it's still worship. But you can see, God has already condemned the worship of the Queen of Heaven. Now Mary has that title. And you can imagine what the Lord thinks of that. You imagine what Mary thinks of it now. As she realizes people are worshiping her, she's saying, oh my good grief, you know, who am I? I'm just a servant of the Lord. But anyway, they worship her as the Queen of Heaven in Roman Catholicism, so such a practice is utterly abhorrent to the Lord. So, you know, we have this practice in our culture today, and it's abhorrent unto the Lord. God condemned Judah for worshiping him in false motives instead of with true devotion. In verses 21 to 29, the Lord was so angry at Judah's people that he told them to go ahead and eat all of their sacrifices rather than burn them up on the altar to him. For he had rejected the offerings. In other words, he says, you might as well just take the offerings and, you know, you eat them. I don't want them. I've rejected them. Why? He explained that when he led their forefathers out of Egypt, he had not only directed them how to sacrifice, but to obey his word in their lives, that they might be blessed. However, Judah's forefathers had not listened to the Lord. And though God had sent prophets to them and to their succeeding generations, they not only had not listened, but became more and more sinful in succeeding generations until the people of Judah in Jeremiah's time were ripe for judgment. You know, it's interesting, this theme appears often in the prophets, where God says, I see it. You're bringing these sacrifices and you're pouring incense on the sacrifice and you're trying to make it especially appealing to me. But he says, you forget that I see the sins that you're doing in your lives back home. And then you bring this to me. How can I accept this when you're living a godless life? It's interesting, when we worship the Lord, and we come together and worship the Lord in church, God is looking at the quality of our worship to see whether it's backed up by a life. What do we do Saturday? What do we do Friday? What do we do Thursday? Is that a lifestyle that is acceptable to the Lord? If it is, then when we come to worship Him in church, it's acceptable. But if we come to worship Him in church, but we're living another life out there, God says, no. Don't do that. Go out and change your life and then come back. Well, God told Jeremiah that the people would not listen to these words, so he was to tell them they as a nation had not obeyed God nor heeded his correction, that truth had perished from their speech. They were thus to cut off their hair to prepare to mourn, for God had abandoned them to judgment. Cutting off the hair, shaving the hair, was a sign of extreme stress and mourning. And so God says, you might as well start cutting off your hair, because judgment is coming. You've departed from worshiping me in truth and in spirit. So we're just going to do away with this. Then God condemned Judah for rebellious idolatry. This is open-handed. Putting idols in God's temple and child sacrifice. Judah's people had even set up pagan idols in God's temple, profaning it. Can you imagine what would you feel if the board and I decided to set up an idol in the sanctuary, put it right up beside the pulpit? Yeah. That should create a hornet's nest in the church. You should reject. But that's what they were doing. They actually set up idols in the temple where God was worshipped. And that was something that was abominable to God. They had also built the high places in the Hinnom Valley, which is the valley between the temple, and you go down to the valley, and then there's the the Garden of Gethsemane and then up to the Mount of Olives on the other side. Well, that valley, they had built high places down there and they burned their children and the infants. They would have, there would be hollow forms of like logs and so forth of gods, look like a totem pole, and they would build a fire at the base of it and come up the mouth, and they would feed the infant through the mouth of this and it dropped down in the fire and the baby would burn. Believe it or not, they actually practiced child sacrifice in demon and in Satan worships and satanic churches today. But this is what they were doing then. And it's interesting, they'd built these high places in the Hidden Valley. They practiced child sacrifice, what God had never commanded, nor did he said, nor had it even entered my mind that they were to do so. This comes directly from paganism. And accordingly, the day would come that that valley would be called the Valley of Slaughter, for so many people would be buried there that there would be no more room for more burials. And the bodies would just pile up because you couldn't bury anybody else. And at that time, the dead would be left unburied so that their bodies would be food for scavenging animals with none to frighten them away. And God would end the sounds of joy and gladness and wedding celebrations in the countryside in the city of Jerusalem, with the land becoming desolate. Incidentally, this theme of the sounds of joy and gladness and marriage celebrations ending, this theme is also picked up in the book of Revelation. Talk about what's going to happen in the great tribulation that is coming. So the devastation that occurred when Babylon came in and just leveled the city of Jerusalem and the area and slew so many people, that type of devastation is going to occur in the great tribulation period that is yet to come. So it's an amazing thing that's coming. Accordingly, the Lord's judgment would be very severe and fitting all such sins. After death, and remember, in Oriental culture, what happens to the body after death is almost as important as what happens to a person before death. So after death, the buried bodies of Jerusalem's kings and officials, her priests and prophets and people would be unearthed by the invading army, exposed to the sun, the moon, and the stars that they had worshipped in life, becoming refuse on the ground as an insult to conquered Judah. See, the Lord is going to say, you know, you're going to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. All right, I'm going to unearth your bodies, have the enemy unearth them, and your bodies will lie exposed to those gods that you worshipped. That's what he thinks of idolatry. He hates it. Those in Judah who survived the invasion would be banished to other lands where they would prefer death to life due to the humiliation and the hardship that they would be facing. Sometimes when a people is conquered by another nation, death actually is preferred to life because of what the people face. So God condemned Judah's worship of false gods, her false worship of himself while she disobeyed him in living, and of rebellious idolatry in her putting pagan idols in his temple and practicing child sacrifice. Incidentally, we may not practice child sacrifice to pagan gods today, but abortion. One of the ways of performing abortion is they put saline solution in the womb, and of course it burns the baby to death. And so from God's perspective, there's no difference. There's no difference between that, what is done to living infants, and taking a baby that's already born and feeding to the fires of Molech in the Valley of Hinnom. So God would cause many in Judah to be slain, their bodies to be desecrated before the stellar bodies they had worshipped in life, and those who survived would face humiliating hardships so great that they would prefer death to life. Huge application, very straightforward, but huge. May we truly, humbly worship God only and obey him in life to avoid discipline and be blessed. You know, it's always good. We're not at the point as a church family where we're tempted to do what Judah was at this point. We're not that far along. But you know, sometimes when you come to worship the Lord, if you say, oh, I'm kind of bored today, that is repugnant to God, believe it or not. He wants us to come recognizing that we are coming before a great king who has given us everything that we have. And we owe him love from all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And so we need to worship God with humility and in truth and worship Him alone. Many years ago, we had a man who was in our church, and he told me that he had a grandmother. Yeah. And he said, that woman fears God more than any person that I know. And by that he meant she respected God. Not, she wasn't terrified of God, but she had a deep reverence for God. And when she worshiped the Lord, even when she was at home and so forth, she would take time, she would pause, and her worship was always meaningful, it was real. I don't know where she picked it up. Maybe she had come from, as an immigrant from a foreign country, and had come to this country and knew what it was like to be persecuted for suffering or not. She might have been from, I think, Eastern Europe maybe, but she came to this country and she worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I thought, wow, what a tremendous example this lady was to her family and her children. Her deep reverence for God was enormous, and that's something that God loves. He wants us to worship Him in truth, in humility. He wants us to worship Him alone, and He wants us to obey Him in our lives. And if we do, then He accepts our worship, and we avoid discipline, and we enjoy His rich blessings.